Well, good morning. I don't know that I've ever heard it this quiet. Anyway, must be some dynamic at work here in the way that we started and finished up or began the service. But regardless, we're glad that you're here this morning, and we are here to worship our great triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And before we do that, I want to welcome you. If you're visiting with us for the first time, there is a welcome insert, this tan insert inside of your bulletin. If you'd fill that out with the information that it calls for, we would love to have a record of your visit with us this morning. Also, if you have any prayer requests, you can certainly jot those down on the back of the sheet and place it in the offering plate at the time of the offertory. A couple of announcements I want to call your attention to. First of all, Danny Dalton will be preaching this morning. That's a treat for me and a treat for all of us. And I've had a break this week, so be in prayer for him as he delivers the word on this Sunday morning. Also, the new campus update, this next Sunday will be our final Sunday here at St. Paul, and we will not have Sunday school that morning. We'll simply have the worship service and then an extended time of fellowship afterwards. And then you'll notice on November the 13th, that'll be our first Sunday at our new campus. Please make special note of the times. We mentioned at first worship at 11. But the session ran into a number of different challenges in terms of staffing and just general procedure that we've gotten used to over the past 7 years. So our new schedule will be worship at 9:30 and then coffee and conversation at 10:30 out in the lobby area of the building. And then we'll have Sunday school at 11 a.m. So please mark those times, not for next week, but the following week at our new facility on Himes Avenue. Also today, St. Paul is having a dinner or luncheon after the worship service, and so they've asked us to rearrange some classes, and you'll notice for today only, at the top on the right-hand side, children, middle school, and the Introduction to Sacred Scripture classes. Just for this Sunday, they'll be meeting in those locations rather than their normal location. There's also a Reformation service tonight at 6 p.m. at the Westminster Presbyterian Church in Brandon, Florida. And you'll want to attend that. Andrew Newman, who is our new RUF director at the University of South Florida, will be delivering the message this evening. Also, choir practice. We're excited that Tom Teachin will join us effective November 1st. And due to the move, the first choir practice will be at his home, at the home of Tom and Alice Teachin. And that will be on Wednesday, this Wednesday, November the 2nd at 7:30. And their address is there for you if you'd like to attend. And there is also a Missions at the Airport put on by JARS. This is the organization, as you know, that Don and Judy Vanderplug, church-supported missionaries, work with as an arm of Wycliffe Bible Translators. So all the information is there for you if you'd like to participate in that on Saturday, November the 12th. Let's turn off our cell phones and other electronic devices. We're gathered here to worship our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I invite you now to join me. And let's meditate on God's grace and kindness to us on this Reformation Sunday as we listen prayerfully to the prelude. Thank you. Our call to worship is in the bulletin from Hebrews chapter 12. I'll read the light print. You respond by reading the dark print. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Take your hymnals and let's stand and sing the great Reformation hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, number 92. Heavenly Father, indeed, your kingdom is forever and ever. We long to be a part of it, and we thank you that we are as a result of the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we would ask humbly that you would bless this worship service, that it would bring honor and glory to your holy name, and that, Lord, you would edify all of us and bless us and equip us for the coming week. Lord, receive all the praise and honor and glory through this time together. We ask these things in the strong and powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Following along in your bulletin, Christian, what do you believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. Our first scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk as blameless, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will protect you, and understanding will guard you. This is the word of the Lord. If you're able now, you can kneel with me, and we will have a time of prayer and confession of our sins. Heavenly Father, we thank you for spiritual heavenly wisdom. And we pray, Lord, and confess that too often we operate on this world's wisdom, this world's understanding, the lack of the knowledge of God. Lord, in so doing, we sin. We sin against you. We sin against our neighbor. We sin against ourselves. So, Lord, we pray now that you would, afresh and anew, hear us confess our sins silently, and then experience the forgiveness of sins that is ours. Hear our silent prayers now, Lord, as we confess. And now, O Lord, hear us as we all pray together. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Having confessed our sins, we receive the forgiveness of sins afresh and anew from our Lord Jesus Christ. Hear the words of assurance of pardon from 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Our second scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. James says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." This is the word of the Lord.
Would you pray with me? Father, on this Reformation Sunday, we give you thanks and praise for pouring out your Spirit upon the faithful in your church who then, by the same Spirit, set about reforming your church, bringing back the centrality of Scripture alone, Christ alone, grace alone, faith alone, to the glory of God alone. We ask that you would write your law of love on our hearts, that we, like our forefathers in the faith, would be unswerving in our witness to your grace that is ours through the gift of faith. We pray that people of every tribe and tongue and nation would gather under the banner of Christ Jesus, finding refuge, healing, and salvation in him. Father, we also pray for this congregation and for our relocation in 2 weeks. Give us grace to undergo all this change. I pray for our session, our diaconate, and all of our committees involved in implementing this transition. Father, may all the details be worked out in a manner that is honoring to you. And as we relocate, would you give us a renewed love for this city and equip us as Christ Church to reach those who do not know Jesus? Father, we also ask that you would be with those who lead our nation, our state, as well as our city. Give them prudence and honesty, fairness and wisdom. We pray for this most polarized election coming up. Father, whatever the outcome, we pray that you would give our nation unity and that there would be peace. And we gratefully rest in your sovereignty. We also ask that you'd be with our missionaries, be with Don and Judy Vanderplug, with Dave and Paige Hawes, with Steve Light, the Davilas and the Costa Rica Mission, as well as Andrew Newman. Father, be also with SIEATN as he ministers in Haiti and with church member Maureen Thompson as she serves in Albania. Would you bless, protect, and bear much fruit through each of these precious saints. And Father, we pray for those with special needs. We think this morning of Dave Barden as he begins the process of receiving a bone marrow transplant. Would you sustain and uphold him? Heal him, Lord, we ask. Be with Pat as well as their children as they care for Dave in these coming weeks. Pray that you'd also be with Ken Jackson. Would you bring full recovering, healing to his eyes and preserve his job, Lord, we ask. Be also with Marsha Craig and Joe DeNito, with Larry Dickey, Servi Fernandez, with Judy Dostal and Debbie Vincent as they both care for their husbands. Be with Frank Frail, Connie Frail, Ananta Rivera, with Denny Michael Bedoronsky, as well as his sister Jacqueline as she is in Mozambique. Would you draw near to each of these at their point of need? Father, we also pray for those who during this season have experienced colds and sickness, viruses. Pray that you would bring healing and strengthen the bodies of your people. We think especially this morning of the Royers who Sarah and Nicholas continue to struggle with sickness. Would you strengthen and heal their bodies, Lord? Father, would you also bring comfort to those who grieve, healing to those who are hurting, peace to the anxious, and wisdom to all of us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, always remembering that there is salvation in no one else, that there's no other name in all of heaven for people to call on to save them. And so, Father, we close by praying the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our third scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Let's take our hymnals once again and turn to number 355 as we stand and sing together.
Thank you.
Our offertory statement this morning comes from Psalm 50, verses 14 and 15. Sacrifice thank offerings to God, fulfill your vows to the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will honor me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity to give. As a reflection of all that you've done in giving your Son, Jesus Christ, for our sins, that we might have eternal life. Bless each gift and every giver this morning. We make our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Please stand for the singing of the doxology. You may be seated. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to the book of James, chapter 3. We'll be looking at verses 13 through 18 this morning, and there are sermon notes in the back of the bulletin if you find those helpful. In our passage today, James contrasts two different kinds of wisdom. There is true wisdom, which comes from God in heaven, And then there is counterfeit wisdom, which does not come from God, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. Now, wisdom is something we all desire and seek after. Nobody lives their life thinking, okay, let me think. I definitely do not want to be wise, so what is the most foolish decision I could possibly make? No, we all desire wisdom. We desire to be wise. We desire to make wise choices. But the question for us today is, how do you know whether you have true wisdom or counterfeit wisdom? How do you tell the difference? Well, James provides a simple and very clear answer to this question. He makes it clear that true wisdom is distinguished from counterfeit wisdom simply by observing one's conduct. Just as James made clear in chapter 2 that true faith is proved or demonstrated by your actions, he makes the same point in today's passage, that true wisdom is also proved or demonstrated by your actions. We'll see that in verse 13, he tells us the type of conduct that demonstrates true wisdom. In verses 14 through 16, he diagnoses counterfeit wisdom, describing its characteristics and results. And then finally, in verses 17 and 18, he diagnoses true wisdom, also describing its characteristics and results. That will be our basic outline this morning. But ultimately, this passage points us to Jesus Christ. For true wisdom has its origin in him. He was the only person who ever lived a truly wise and righteous life. And therefore, only in him can we ever display true wisdom. Would you pray with me before we continue on? Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Spirit, which goes forth with your word, always accomplishing your results. I pray that you would send forth your Spirit this morning, that you would strengthen our faith, that you would convict us of our sin, that you would encourage us as a church. And so, Father, we pray this in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Well, James begins our passage this morning with a challenge of sorts. He asks, who is wise and understanding among you? And what he says next is not, okay, now tell me about your wisdom. Rather, he says, show me. Prove it. Now, he's not exaggerating or using hyperbole here. Most often in Scripture, wisdom has moral and ethical meaning. For example, Proverbs 4:11 shows that wisdom is synonymous with living an upright or righteous life. Wisdom personified in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 20, declares, I, this is wisdom speaking, walk in the way of righteousness. Again, to be wise is synonymous with being righteous. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 6, Psalm 19, verse 7, Proverbs 8, 33, just to name a few, all show that walking obediently to God's law, in other words, living righteously, is a mark of wisdom. In the same way, James says that we are to show our wisdom by a lifestyle of good deeds. And these good deeds are to be done in humility that comes from wisdom. This brings us to our first point this morning. Prove your wisdom through good deeds done in humility. Now, the Greek word translated humility here is not the typical word that is translated humility. The Greek word used here is a little more multifaceted. which can be clearly seen depending on which English translation you happen to be reading. The New International Version translates this Greek word as humility, as we read in our passage. The English Standard Version translates the same word as meekness. And the New American Standard translates it as gentleness. That same Greek word is also used by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verse 23, to describe gentleness as part of the fruit of the Spirit. This word connotes a gentleness of attitude and behavior when interacting with others, in contrast to being harsh and quarrelsome. At the outset of this passage, how do you answer James's challenge? Can you prove by your actions that you have true wisdom? Is your lifestyle characterized by good deeds done in a gentle and humble manner? If you're truly honest with yourself, I'm sure that you must admit, like me, that you fall far short of this glorious standard. Too often I'm afraid that we participate in counterfeit wisdom, which is where James goes next in his passage. In verses 14 through 16, James describes what counterfeit wisdom looks like, where it comes from, and what it produces. And this brings us to our second point this morning. Through Christ, put away counterfeit wisdom, which produces disorder and evil of every kind. Looking at verse 14 from James chapter 3, he says, "But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice." So first, where does this wisdom come from? In verse 15, there are three adjectives used in descending order. This wisdom does not come from heaven, but instead it is earthly, it is unspiritual, and it is of the devil. In other words, this wisdom does not produce good deeds done in humility, but rather is characterized by the world, the flesh, and the devil. It progresses from bad to worse, culminating in the strongest possible description of the devil. It is true. In the end, there are only two sources for wisdom. It is either wisdom from God or it's wisdom from the devil. Now, none of us would probably choose to follow the devil's wisdom, but by not choosing God's wisdom, that's exactly what we do. Think about our first parents, Adam and Eve. Whose wisdom did they listen to? Seeking independence from God, they followed and obeyed the devil's wisdom by taking his advice, believing him, taking fruit from the one tree that God had forbidden them. In every way, wisdom characterized by the world, the flesh, and the devil is opposite of God's wisdom. It desires the opposite of what God desires. It is arrogant, selfish, deceitful, just like the devil. Next, what are the characteristics of this wisdom? This counterfeit wisdom is characterized by bitter envy and selfish ambition. Envy is an unhealthy desire to have for yourself the things that rightfully belong to others, whether it's their possessions, their intellect, their beauty, their athleticism, their reputation, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. A good test to determine if you are envious is to ask yourself if you can rejoice at the good fortune of others. For example, while maintaining your weight may be a struggle for you, you encounter someone who never seems to struggle with their weight and joyfully shares that they've just lost 5 pounds. Or while you struggle just to make ends meet, a friend of yours gets a new house or a new car. Or what thoughts go through your mind when you see a friend on Facebook post yet another picture of some vacation or weekend getaway that they have been on? Or for you students, perhaps you have classmates who effortlessly seem to get excellent grades, or perhaps they are athletic, or they're so funny, in the center of attention all the time, or fill in the blank with anything else. When you observe these things in other people, are you able to rejoice with them over the blessings that God has poured out upon them? Or do you begin to roll your eyes and despise that other person for what they possess or for what they enjoy? Do you wish that you had those same things? You deserve those things? Or perhaps, with a weird twist of envy, maybe rather than you wishing that you had those things, maybe you wish that these people did not have them. Do you find yourself delighting more in the misfortune of others than in their blessings? If any of this flows out of you, or if any of this characterizes you, James is saying you do not have true wisdom. Envy is wrong because it flows out of selfishness. Think about it. The person who is selfless can't be envious at the same time. Envy wants to grasp rather than give. It wants what others have. Envy begins inwardly in your heart, but it always leads to other forms of sin. It acts just like the devil. Another characteristic of this counterfeit wisdom is selfish ambition. It is an unhealthy, egocentric drive that leads you to forcefully grasp for yourself what you feel you deserve. Selfish ambition will use whatever means possible to get what it wants. It will use people. It will manipulate people. It will divide people. And it will even ruin people, if necessary, to achieve personal power and prestige. Envy and selfish ambition are poison to your soul. They are contrary to a true understanding of what it means to love your neighbor. They cause you to care for no one except yourself, grasping whatever you can, however you can. And in the end, these eat you up and destroy you. Proverbs 14:30 states, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." And so what are the results of this counterfeit wisdom? The results of this wisdom are recorded in verse 16 as disorder and every evil practice. In other words, it leads to a breakdown of love for one another. When you make a decision based on your own selfish desires and a what's in it for me mentality, then you end up with every evil practice. It will bring about quarreling, fighting, rivals, criticism, hatred, resentment, a lack of contentment, a lack of love. It leads to an unsafe community of people when all are looking out for number one, and then the weak are the ones who get trampled. In verse 15, the New International Version, I believe, rightly puts this wisdom in quotation marks because it's really no wisdom at all. James is basically saying that if you harbor bitter envy or selfish ambition in your hearts, then don't boast about having wisdom because you don't. Now, with verses 17 and 18, he goes on to explain what true wisdom looks like. And this brings us to our third point this morning. Through Christ, display true wisdom, which produces righteousness and peace. Looking at verse 17, James writes, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness." So first, where does this wisdom come from? Well, it comes from God. Our first scripture reading this morning from Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, it clearly states, "For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth come knowledge and understanding." True wisdom is a gift from God that comes down from heaven to the believer who asks for it. We already learned this in James chapter 1, verse 5, which states, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him." God's wisdom leads us to make decisions which are consistent with the will of God. And it is God's will that you consider the interests of others as better than your own, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, it is God's will that you obey his moral law. True wisdom does not exist apart from knowing God and fearing him. And so what are the characteristics of true wisdom? In verse 17, James rattles off seven adjectives that describe not so much what true wisdom is, but rather what true wisdom does. He fleshes out what its effects are and what it produces in the lives of those who have it. For true wisdom always produces results. First, and the overarching attribute is purity. This connotes a moral blamelessness, untainted by any mixture of motives. This is the opposite of the disorder and confusion brought about by counterfeit wisdom. Now, true wisdom is also peace-loving. This is an inner attitude of that strives for love, and it strives for peace, and it strives to make peace. And I want you to keep in mind that making peace and simply keeping peace are two very different things. Making peace is much more difficult and much more costly. You see, keeping the peace is simply ignoring a conflict or sweeping it under the rug or just putting on a fake smile and pretending everything is okay when under the surface things are not okay. Keeping peace may be easier, at least for a time, but it is not peace. Don't be confused. At best, it only achieves a counterfeit peace that will one day fall apart, implode, or blow up. True peacemaking is hard work. It is difficult, and it is costly. According to Proverbs, wisdom naturally produces peace. Why is wisdom peace-loving? Well, it's because it is also considerate and submissive when appropriate. True wisdom is considerate. It is thoughtful and respectful of other people's feelings. It strives to understand the situation from the other person's shoes. It is submissive. It means that it is teachable. It's willing to listen and to defer to others when appropriate. It is full of mercy and good fruit. In other words, you're so aware of your own need for mercy that it is just completely natural for you to extend mercy towards others. And finally, this wisdom is impartial and it is sincere, which means it is fair, it shows no favoritism, and it is free from any kind of deceptive scheming or fraud. And so finally, what are the results of this true wisdom? Well, James says it leads to peace and a harvest of righteousness. The imagery here is that the fruit reaped by planting wisdom is a bountiful harvest of righteousness, both in yourself and in others around you. Those who are wise show their wisdom by the way they live. This wisdom includes all the attributes listed in verse 17. And this harvest of righteousness grows and flourishes in an environment of peace. Think back to that third scripture lesson of the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." And for this reason, true wisdom has its origin in Jesus. He was the only person who ever lived a truly wise and righteous life. Think about it. Jesus was completely pure. He was blameless and undefiled in every way. Never once did he sin, nor could anyone bring any kind of accusation against him. He lived a perfectly righteous life. He was considerate, impartial, sincere, full of mercy and good fruit. He was submissive to his Father's will in every way, and he was peace-loving. He didn't just keep peace by avoiding conflict. No, he actually made peace, and he made the most important peace. He made peace between sinners and God at a great cost to himself. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20 states that Jesus reconciled all things to himself by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker. And we can only experience true peace, true righteousness, true wisdom by acknowledging our sin and trusting in Jesus Christ. And so if you're not a Christian this morning, I pray that you would realize true wisdom cannot be gained apart from knowing God. Only in Jesus and through his Spirit can we display true wisdom, for it comes from God. I urge you to humble yourself before him, admit your sin, receive his grace, and then by his strength put away counterfeit wisdom and walk the path of true wisdom from God, producing a harvest of righteousness. And if you are already a Christian this morning, this wisdom from heaven, it already belongs to you. Therefore, make every effort to live out the righteousness which is already yours in Jesus Christ. Over the last 7.5 years since I've been a pastor here at Seminole Church, I have experienced this church to be a peaceful congregation without much drama or disorder. And I truly thank God for that. And as you all know, we are about to undergo a lot of change. A new name, a new location, a new worship time. Change is difficult. And unfortunately, change often provides fertile ground for conflict, disorder, and evil of every kind. So let's all the more be on our guard, not giving the devil a foothold among us. If counterfeit wisdom brings disorder and evil of every kind, true wisdom, God's wisdom, brings peace, unity, and righteousness. Therefore, may our lives be free from envy and selfish ambition. May we be patient, slow to take offense, not demanding our own way. May we live in peace with one another and make peace. And by God's grace, may we prove our wisdom through a harvest of righteousness. Would you pray with me? Father God, we do thank you for your gifts of grace. We thank you for wisdom that you willingly pour out upon us when we ask. And so we ask that you would do that among us today. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves at all times. Help us to seek our Savior Jesus Christ, to love him. And would you strengthen us and enable us to produce a harvest of righteousness, that it would be to your glory. For it's in the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. We come now to our closing hymn. It's number 562, All to Jesus I Surrender. Would you stand with me as we sing?
Once again, welcome to those of you who are visiting with us. We have a time of fellowship, coffee, and treats over in the Snyder Building directly behind the sanctuary. Please join us. And then we have Sunday school classes for all ages as listed inside of the bulletin. One thing I neglected to announce, the yellow insert speaks of children's worship, which we are going to reactivate on the 13th of November, our first Sunday in our new facility. This is one of the most important ministries in the life of our church. So if you can volunteer, all the information is there for you to make contact with Randa Gravanti or Sarah Royer for the children's ministry. So please take the time to volunteer and be a part of that ministry. And we have a special prelude to close the service this morning. When you hear it, it may remind you of other things, like horror movies and that sort of thing, but it's one of those examples where the world has borrowed capital from the Christian faith. This magnificent piece by Johann Sebastian Bach, who was a believer, was written in the early part of the 18th century, and it's one of the most beautiful pieces for the organ. And so enjoy it as Sylvia plays and as we depart to fellowship and study God's Word. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace both now and forevermore. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.